I'm Aria Schwartz, along with Rachel Galligan, and this is the WNBA Insider Show. Each week, we cover different topics important to the W. Using X's and O's, along with key stats, we bring honest and critical analysis. A young Duke alum, fresh off her first WNBA season, in the midst of her first overseas season, we are honored to welcome Lexi Brown.
Say hi to the folks and tell us where you are and what you've been up to.
Hi, everybody. I'm currently in Hungary, playing on a team in the upper division. The city's called Győr. We're about an hour from Budapest, and I'm having a great time over here. I miss the family in the United States a little bit, but I'm having a great experience over here.
So just to start, sorry, Rachel, that made me think, talking about family, it got me thinking about the holidays. How long have you been out there so far?
I've been over here since September 1st, but I've been back home twice. Once, about like a week before Thanksgiving, there was a national team break, and then over the holidays. But from now until probably the end of April, I'll be here and just here for the long haul.
Awesome. Wow. Well, Lexi, hey, how are you? So happy to have you on the show. And I think I have 1,000 questions for you. But I first want to just kind of break down for everyone listening. You know, this was a portion of our podcast that we wanted to get out for fans of women's basketball, fans for the WNBA, to have a better understanding of what overseas life is like. And even someone like myself or REA who cover this as closely as we do, it's still difficult to really wrap your minds around kind of what goes on day in and day out with you guys and these decisions that you make to go overseas. And so thank you for joining us and answering some of our questions and just giving us a deeper look into what all of this entails for you guys. I just have a couple questions myself. I'm curious. Well, I want to hear from you. Why is it that so many WNBA players feel that need to go play overseas and leave their families and go be in different countries for, 7-8 months out of the year?
Income, obviously, especially for, the first couple years of your career. You know, as everybody knows, we don't make, that much money playing in the WNBA, which honestly, in the grand scheme of things, for the short season that we have, I think the amount that we get paid is, more than enough, especially fresh out of college, no responsibilities, at least for me, financially. But if you want to be able to, long-term be, financially stable, overseas is usually the way to go. You can make a ton of money overseas. I know some players making 6 figures playing over here, which is amazing to do a sport that you love. Also, I think people want to see the world, want to experience things, want to experience new cultures, meet new people. I know personally, I would want to travel anyway, fresh out of college before, if I were to not be playing, before I went into the workforce or something, I definitely would take my time and go travel and go see things that I've never seen before. I have a ton of friends who are doing that right now. And being able to, get paid while you're being over here, being able to travel all over the world and playing basketball, I feel like it's an amazing life. It is hard being away from your friends and family, but I think that's a small price to pay to do something that you love and that you've worked your entire life for.
I keep thinking of that. I don't know if you've seen that little video. I think it was Bleacher Report did with Jewel Lloyd when Faith Mothership or whatever, and she gets in the car with Cappy, and Cappy's like, "You gotta go overseas and get that shmoney." I always think of that whenever I think of going overseas, and that needs to be a real movie.
I haven't even seen that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
They made like a spoof movie trailer with Jewel Lloyd and with a few other WNBA players like popping in as little guests,
cameo appearances, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was hilarious. Well, I think it should be a real movie.
Whenever you post this podcast, you should tag a link to that so everyone can check it out. Lexi, I'm curious. I've heard that as you negotiate certain contracts. Well, my first question is real quickly, what is the the best players in the world, the highest levels, the Brianna Stewarts, you know, all the, like what is the most someone is getting paid overseas roughly? I'm just curious.
I honestly don't even know. I know that the players that are in China and in Russia are probably getting paid the most. Mm-hmm. I literally can't put a number. I know it's over 6 figures. Okay. I do remember that there 2 years ago that Diana Taurasi got paid $1.5 million to sit out for WWE right. to rest. So if that gives you an idea about how much money that Russia has, there's an example right there. But yeah, if you're good enough, like the sky's the limit. That's what my agent said when he gave me a list of all the countries to go to. He kind of gave me their, you know, pay averages, you know, a scale from, you know, lowest to highest. And when he put Russia, China, and South Korea, he was like, salary is like to infinity. That's pretty, that's exact, like his, that was his word for word. Salary to infinity.
And as your contracts are being negotiated, with your agent, things like that. I have heard as well that as you're doing that, you can sometimes get within their flights covered for you to come back for Christmas, yeah. a certain amount of round trip flights. Is that true for everybody or just some of you? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if it's for everybody. And I think it depends on, you know, like what division you're in, how much money your club has. I know they paid for, so my flight, both of my flights for Christmas time, my first flight and to Christmas, they paid for. And then my flight coming home, I mean, coming back from Christmas and then returning is paid for. And then the flight that I took during the Thanksgiving time, I had to pay for because, I mean, technically I didn't have to go all the way back to the United States. Like my teammate, Rhonda Gray, she went on like a little trip around Europe. She went to Italy. Milan, she went to Rome, Milan, like that's what she did during her week. Geez. So yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that I've had to pay for, and they pretty much take care of everything. It's very, in that aspect, at least my club is very similar to the WNBA, where they pretty much take care of, you know, all of your basic needs, like your housing, your car, flights, things like that. So I mean, all the money you spend is on you. So I mean, I think that's another amazing part about you know, the way the WNBA and overseas basketball operates. It's like it gives you a lot of opportunity to save your money, invest
it. Well, so I want to ask you about that, actually, because I've always been so curious. When it comes to, like, meals, for instance, can you talk to us just briefly about, you know, are your do you have, like, a stipend for meals in the W? Do you have a stipend for meals overseas? How does that work? Because you got to eat.
Yeah, no, in the WNBA, no. I know, well, when we travel, we get money. Which I'm assuming is for food, which I use for other things like like living in Connecticut, you know, there's not really a ton of shopping. So, you know, when we would hit cities like New York and Chicago, you know, I would just hit the mall. And my coaches would be like, Lexi, when do you eat? And I'm like, like, I've managed to eat. Like, let me, you know, I've never had money like this before. So right. let me try it.
Let me live.
Food. Fine. Food is not going anywhere. It's going to be okay. But yeah, no, you kind of have to, you know, do your own thing with food, which, you know, is fine. They have food at the gym for you too, like breakfast stuff, because we practice in the mornings. Over here, we get one meal for prepared for us a day. We can like go pick it up. We can, it's like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's like kind of like a restaurant slash cafeteria. We have to go. We can eat there, and we can take food home. So, I mean, I'm pretty much set for the entire week, you know, food-wise, unless I want to go on my own and get something else. Or I've decided to become a more home-cooked meal person, which I've never been in my life because I hate cooking. but I've been forced to start cooking for myself, so that's been fun. And then the weekends, there's a restaurant that provides us meal, one meal. That we can go stop through if we feel like it on the weekend. So yeah, we have like a nice little setup over here. You know, I love food. I love to eat. You know, so that was my biggest concern coming over. Like acting like they don't have regular food over here. But the Hungarian food is actually delicious. I really like it.
Is there a Hungarian dish that's you're like, oh man, I might have to try and figure out what I'm going to do when I get back and how I'm going to get this?
That's not going to happen because. Because like I said, I tell everybody, everyone's like, can you cook? I tell them, I cook for survival. That's all I do. Like, like you're not going to catch me making a big meal, big gourmet meal with courses. Like, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat something that makes me full, and that is it. I think it's called goulash, I want to say. I don't even know if that's what it's called, but they have this like pasta, and it's like, it looks like mashed potatoes, but it's pasta. Like, it has a consistency of noodles, but it looks like mashed potatoes. And they put like sauces on top of it. And it's so good. And
that's it is. It's called goulash. You're correct.
Yes. That is my favorite thing that I've eaten over here so far, for sure.
I just have so many questions. Just real quickly, I mean, I think it's important the listeners understand that there is a wide range when you say that you're playing professionally overseas. You know, I played professionally overseas. Different countries have different levels of competition. We could talk about EuroLeague. We could talk about, you know, obviously China and Australia are in their different leagues of their own. But in Europe in particular, you know, a country like Spain is not going to pull a WNBA caliber player from the States because they don't have the financial money to support that. So what you're seeing, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier in the podcast that, you know, like the top talent, you guys are going to more of these Eastern European countries like Hungary, not to mention also Russia, Turkey. Why is it that those countries in particular are able to really be the powerhouses when it comes to pulling WNBA talent?
I think it's just, they just love basketball over here. I don't know like the background of it, why certain countries have more money than others. I did hear like some Russian teams are like run by like the mafia or something like that. So
did you hear that story about the team Sue Bird played for?
No, I haven't.
I heard about this and I did some research on this, and according to Wikipedia, so take it how you want, but
100% true. Well,
yeah, right. So according to Wikipedia, one of the teams Sue Bird, and I don't know which team it was, played for back in the day in Russia, was owned by this like really rich former like KGB spy, and He was known for taking the team on like shopping sprees on his private jet. They would just like fly to Milan and different like places, and he would give them shopping sprees. But apparently he was assassinated during one of the seasons. Oh, wow. And the team then like had a moment of silence and like didn't and forfeited the next game or something because their owner was just like assassinated.
Yeah, that sounds
I'm
about
not surprised.
Right. Sounds about right. So yeah, I think the owners have a big part of it. Like, I know our president is just a really big basketball fan. Mm-hmm. And he kind of does it his own time. So I remember when we were losing, he came in, cussed us out. Me and Rashawn have no idea what he's saying. We come in after one game, we're on the bus. He comes in the bus, says something. I thought he was like saying something like, you know, you guys got it. Like next game. Apparently, he said very rude things, and they were like, "We're not even gonna tell you what he said because this doesn't matter." And we were like, "Oh, okay."
Wow.
Does that happen a lot?
Yes. Like, well, my entire coaching staff and all my teammates, they all speak English, so we don't really have that many moments like in practice or in games. But yeah, the management, they speak very limited English and mostly Hungarian. So yeah, when we were having our little rough patch, you know, there was a lot of, you know, altercations and conversations like in the locker room, like after practices, trying to figure out what is going on. And, you know, I just sit there like, but okay. And then of course they translate it in like the nice way.
Of course.
So, I mean, the language barrier when they're trying to get points across is kind of funny because, you know, they could be, you know, cussing this out. And then coach would be like, yeah, you know, he said, you know, you just gotta play a little harder, you know, work a little harder. That's not what he said.
No, that's not what went down.
Things like that. You know, they're really passionate about the game over here, which is really, it's really awesome. And I'm personally really appreciative that I'm in a club, you know, that loves women's basketball so much.
So something I wanted to ask real quick before we get into like styles and play, I meant to bring this up when we were talking about contracts and whatnot. I've heard some horror stories of people just not getting paid. You heard these horror stories, and how does that play into your decisions?
Living in it right now. I've heard about it. I knew it happened, but it actually happening to me is like, I wasn't shocked, but I was like, why am I shocked? Like, I knew this was going to happen, but I was still so mad, even though I was expecting it to happen. I don't know why they do it. They just don't pay you on the day that they say they're supposed to pay you. For me, it's just annoying for me because, like I said, I don't have any financial burdens currently. I don't have a house, I don't have like phone bills, like high phone bills. I don't have like high, super high car payments. Like my parents are still helping me out with my first car. Like all that is taken care of. So, you know, for me, it's just kind of me being like just a little spoiled American. Like, wait, why didn't I get paid today? Like, this is when I'm supposed to get paid today. But it's just normal. But in your contract, you have like a time frame, and it's like after this amount of days, like you don't have to practice anymore or play. And then after this amount of days, you can go home. So I actually had the chance to not return after Christmas because the time had passed. So I don't want to be the a-hole that sits out of practice because I didn't get paid. Because one, I'm a rookie. Like, this is my first year. Two, it happens to like everybody. So if I'm the one who decides to sit out, then I'm going to look like an idiot. Like, all right, let's see. Like, none of us are getting paid, like just practice. So I didn't even go down that route. But like right before I went home for Christmas, literally the day before I went home for Christmas was like the last day on my contract to be like, okay, if you don't pay me this day, then I don't have to come back, but you have to pay me my entire salary. So the problem with that is, one, I just did not feel like packing up all my stuff to go home. So they were lucky that I was lazy. Two, it's like a pain to get a club to pay you in full if you end up leaving their team. Like, I've heard so many stories of players still waiting like years later to get their full salaries that they weren't paid, even though they completed the season. So I can't even imagine what it would be like if you didn't complete the season. So I've gotten paid every month, but delayed, but I've gotten paid. So, it's just something you kind of have to deal with. It's annoying. But at the end of the day, as long as I get paid eventually, you know, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, I can speak from even my own example. I was never good enough to play in the WNBA, not even close, but there is another tier of players. And we were kind of talking about it before we started the show. There's a tier of players who played at the highest level here in the States of, you know, Division I basketball. They were dominant players. They were great college players who are overseas playing professionally in different parts around the world, who will probably never make a WNBA roster because it is highly difficult to make a WNBA roster. Right? People don't understand how difficult that is. And even myself, I'm 10 years removed, and there's a club that still owes me, you know, over $2,000. I'll never see that money. And I'm one of thousands of players who have gone through that. Even it just, you know, it sounds like it's taking place from the lowest level of professional basketball to even up in the highest levels, you know, kind of what you're playing at right now. So it's very interesting, you know, the value of certain contracts and timelines, the cultural aspect of the sense of urgency, you know, of getting things done in a timely manner, and the repercussions of not getting it done don't always apply over there many times. And that can be very difficult to juggle.
It was shocking. I was like, sometimes the way the pace at which they do things, I'm just like, what? Why is this taking so long? Like, yeah. Are you kidding me? In the States, it would take 5 seconds. It's just something I had to get used to. I'm completely used to it now. So, when I first got here, you know, it was like just a bunch of shock for sure.
Well,
I was like, what is this?
And there's so many benefits, like you said, of being able to take advantage of free housing, you know, phones, internet, cars, meal plans, all of those things, to where when you do get paid, that money is really in a lot of ways just directly into your pocket. In a lot of ways, just straight cash, especially if you, you know, are smart about asking for that. Because I know checks will bounce as well. So it is, it's a different world. But moving into kind of just more so the basketball aspect of it, how has that been? How has that transition been going from playing the highest level of collegiate basketball to, you know, the WNBA to then going over and now you're playing in Hungary? Talk to us a little bit about just the differences of practices, game prep, just your day in, day out routine. I mean, how much has that been maybe a struggle or has it been easier? Talk to us a little bit about that.
At the beginning, it was the physicality of the game really bothered me. Only because in the WNBA, it is very physical, but, you know, there's just kind of there's like a line, you know, when it comes to American players of like physicality, like, okay, like this a little much. And we like, you know, dial it down a little bit. Like they don't have that line over here. Like there's no dialing down. Like everything is like physical or super physical and that's it. So that bothered me a little bit at the beginning. And the game is not as fast as WNBA. It's just a little more physical. The girls over here they're very skilled. I mean, you're not gonna find a ton of like athletes over here. Which is to my benefit because I'm not a super athlete, so I'm like, oh my god, they play like me. I feel like my game definitely fits more to the European style compared to the WNBA style. But I feel like my game in the WNBA will grow, you know, as the years go on, and I get a little bit more experience. I had to kind of reprogram myself defensively because I know going from Duke, where we played all zone, then going to the league to where it's all man, but like way more spread out. You know, you're on an island, you know, 99% of the time. Back to European, where it's closer to basketball rules. So I've had to, you know, adjust with that. And I think this is going to be super beneficial for me for the WNBA because we play all man-to-man as well. So. You know, my on-ball defense wasn't what I thought it was when I got here.
It never is. It never is.
I've gotten so much better. And then, of course, me being at the point guard position, I'm like ginormous compared to the point guards over here. So it's been fun and it's been a little difficult, you know, going against smaller players. I've been being able to work on different aspects of my game. But, you know, there's so much I've learned. Me not really getting a lot of time this summer with the sun. I mean, I was just so excited to get over here and play as many games as possible. So, you know, I think that was one of the more beneficial things of me not playing this summer is that when I got here, you know, I wasn't tired. I wasn't burnt out. I was just like ready to go.
Yeah.
I've been sitting all summer. Like, I just want to play. And so it was really exciting. Even though I wish my rookie season went a little differently with the sun, I mean, setting up for this first season overseas, I don't think it could have been set up a better way.
Well, you kind of touched on this. I want to ask, I have so many questions. I mean, first, and this can be a quick response, so you don't have to get really into. I'm curious, I've seen interviews with other WNBA players who play overseas, and they talk about this pull between, you know, is the W your real job or is overseas your real job? Because overseas is much more of your income and whatnot. And I guess something that I want to know is when it comes to like going all out, diving for a ball or like putting your body on the line, are you more competitive in that nature overseas or in the W? Or like how does that play into your mind?
For me, I'm going to go out no matter what, WNBA or overseas. I'm going all out no matter what. But I think that the priority, it's hard. It's a hard thing to balance because I feel like where you are in the moment should be what your priority is. So like I should not be over here worrying about the WNBA and I shouldn't be in the WNBA worrying about overseas because then you're not really going to ever give your full effort to where you are. But yeah, like you said, our majority of our income comes from overseas and you can't come overseas and, you know, play like trash bags and then expect other teams to offer you more money, or that team to offer you more money, or like I'm on a Euro Cup team, like I want to be on a Euro League team. So I can't come over here and kind of dilly-dally through the season expecting a Euro League team to be interested in picking me up next year. And I think that possibly, it's not common for players to, you know, find one team and stay there for a bunch of years. But it would be nice to like find a team and maybe be able to stay there, you know, 2-3 years if it's a great situation. But if I do have that situation, I want it to be at the highest level. You know, and I think once you get to the highest level, then you can kind of, you know, dial it down a little bit for the WNBA and vice versa. You know, I have so much work to do. There's so many things like I want to accomplish. Like I still want to be like one of the best to ever play WNBA and stuff like that. So you do have to be aware of, you know, the wear and tear on your body of being overseas. Like I've seen like vets over here averaging, you know, like 6-7 points a game, like their eighth, ninth year in. So, you know, I get stuff like that. But, you know, my first year, you know, I'm trying to, you know, destroy everybody. And people are like, why is she so like aggressive? But I'm like, I have so much to prove, I think. And I've always been that type of player. Like I've always had to prove something to people. So, you know, I came over here on a mission, and then I'm going to go back to the States on a mission this summer. And, you know, I think it's just a never ending cycle. And I think it's hard for some players to keep that mentality, but I've had that mentality, you know, as a basketball player since I started playing. So I'm just really excited to see, you know, where my game takes me over the next couple of years.
You kind of touched on this. Could you talk very briefly just about the differences? I don't think a lot of people know about the differences between Euro Cup and Euro League. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So Euro Cup and Euro League are just the two, you know, top leagues in European basketball. So the difference between the two leagues is just talent level. So we're in the Euro Cup. We got eliminated, so we're not playing it anymore. And then if you win the Euro Cup, you get to play in the EuroLeague the next season. And then I think every year they pick and choose what EuroLeague teams like drop down to EuroCup. I mean, they're both really awesome. You get to travel to different countries and play, so that's really fun. But like Breonna Stewart, Kayla McBride, Brittany Griner, they play in EuroLeague. And then some of the EuroCup players, I play EuroCup. Jewel Lloyd, Elizabeth Williams, they play Euro Cup. Blake from the Dream, she plays. I actually played against her. She was on one of the teams in our little group that we played. She plays in Spain. Who else? Just to name a few. So, you know, the WNBA players are dispersed, you know, throughout. Like in our Hungarian league, actually, the team Sopron, they actually were they were in the finals of Euro League last year, and you know they just kill everybody in our league. So they're a powerhouse. They have who do they have on their team? They have Vaughn Turner, Zowie B, and Candace Dupree. They're on their
team. Yep.
What do you want to do with this?
Right.
Well, and Turner went off last year overseas.
Yeah, like she's kind of chilling right now. But I remember our first game we played them. She locked me up. I can't even lie. I was not in a good place mentally with our situation as a team. Like nobody was, and we just looked awful.
Wow.
Not this weekend. Next weekend at home. I think we can give them a little run. I don't know if we can beat them, but you know, I don't. I'm hoping not to lose by like 50. We only lost by like I had 0 points. I was like, I'm terrible. Why am I here?
Well, I have a question. I have a quick question about just Americans over there. You can have one other American on your team, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So who else is on your roster that we would be familiar with?
Rashonda Gray, she went to Cal.
Okay. And it's just...
Yeah.
She played around, I think, a little bit on a few other teams,
and
too.
So, yeah, she...
So it's you two as the Americans, and then by really the rules state that that's all you can have on the team.
Yeah, and we can have, I think, 4 or 5 foreigners. So we have 2 players from Serbia and 1 player from Greece as well.
And then how much are you often... Like, how often are you able to get together with... say friends, like, you know, you've got probably friends in other cities or other countries. Is there like a time you all get together and like hang out as Americans? No, you don't.
It's just, we just don't have time. And we practice pretty much every day. We have one off day, usually the day after a game. And every other day, practice. So, like my best friend plays in France. So we were like, oh my gosh, I finally overseas. We get to see each other all the time. No, nope. I've not seen her yet. I've not had the time to, you know, just hop on a flight to France real quick. So, I mean, it's fine though, because me and Rashonda are super close, and I couldn't have asked for a better, you know, teammate to have. My first season, she's been awesome. So I just spend a lot of time with her, and then we do spend time with our other teammates, but, you know, they just all speak Hungarian when they're together, so we're just like, why are we here? So, like, we do have some team get-togethers from time to time, but for the most part, I'm usually with Rashonda.
I guess, again, we could ask you questions forever. I mean, there's so many things. Something that I've always been curious of, kind of from a PR perspective, what are, you know, when you play for a WNBA team or NCAA team or an overseas team, you know, the photo shoots or like those little clips that fans see during the game asking, like, is a hot dog a sandwich? Stuff like that. What are the expectations? Like overseas, sometimes I've seen them go above and beyond with kind of fan interaction stuff. Do you think it's all kind of even keel, or could you talk a little bit about
our
that?
Our team does none of that. absolutely none of it. I know most teams don't really do things like that. I mean, for them, basketball is like, it's like a business to them, but it's more like an investment for the owners. It's like, they don't really care about, you know, the social media presence and all that. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody over here, and they were talking about how, like, just social media in general in Europe for sports is like just behind. Like,
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Sometimes, like, even like China, you can't even find social media pages for the clubs and teams in China.
They're just now finding out and discovering like the power of social media, which I think is so funny. I think some of the EuroLeague men's teams have a pretty big social media presence, but those teams that I've noticed, because, you know, I've done more research, obviously, so I'm like, what am I supposed to do over here? Like, nobody knows like where I am. And so I've had to do all this stuff on my own. But it's usually the teams that, you know, like the big organizations with like a soccer team, a basketball team, women's basketball team, right, a water polo team, those type of organizations. Those are the organizations you see doing like the social media stuff, the photo shoots and things like that.
Did you just say water polo?
Water polo, handball.
Is that big out there?
Handball is huge.
Yeah.
Actually, my team has like the best women's handball team in the world. They play in this huge arena in our city. It's huge for handball.
Have you gone to a game?
No, I don't even know when their season is, because I was talking to my agent. I was like, who plays in that arena? Like, what basketball? He's like, the women's handball team. And I was like, what? we play at a university, so I've watched like handball practices. I was like, what is this?
I haven't heard of handball since like third grade gym class.
Really big over there. Really big.
He's humongous over here. And I still don't understand the rules. But really, it's actually quite entertaining, I must say.
So, Lexi, I want to ask you, kind of, you talked about different elements of your game, kind of culture shocks going to different leagues. What are you looking to personally grow on, and as far as your skill sets, looking to the next 2019 WNBA season?
I think I just want to, be like really good at one thing. I feel like in the professional level, you can be good at a lot of things, but if you specialize in one thing, you can really like set yourself apart. I really would love to be like one of the best shooters in the league. Like, if I'm open, like, people are like, oh, let's go with it. Like, you cannot leave her open. Like, I would love to do that. I don't want to like pigeonhole myself into that. Like, I still want to be able to do other things. But if I could, you know, just be on track to be like one of the best shooters ever play in WNBA, like, that would be amazing. I've been working on my shot a lot over here. I've finally been able to, you know, work on my game a little bit because the WNBA season was so fast this summer. I didn't really have a ton of time to, you know, work on my game personally because we were just always on the move. So I'm hoping to go back, you know, as an improved player, go over there stronger, with a little more understanding, you know, the physicality and, you know, how pros like operate, how they play. I mean, I kind of just felt like I was thrown in the fire a little bit last season. And I was talking to Elena Beard when I was at the Duke game because she was there as well. And she was like, yeah, this is probably like, that was probably like the worst season y'all could have came in as rookies. She was like, it was just all over the place. And she's like, next season will be better. It'll be a little easier. But she's like, yeah, it was just a whirlwind. And she's like, I felt bad for you guys, but you guys managed. So I'm just really excited to, you know, finally experience a regular WNBA season. I feel like this last season, it was just so rushed and there was just so much going on. So I'm really excited to get back for sure.
Well, Lexi, I think I speak for a ton of people when it comes to we are all excited for the 2019 WNBA season. But for now, we wish you the best of luck over there in Hungary the rest of your season. Thank you for spending some time with us, answering some of our questions. And as we continue to just educate ourselves as fans and as people here in the States on what you guys are doing day in and day out, it's so important. We want to be able to hear your stories and just kind of hear your perspective. That helps us be better fans. It helps us to just be educated on a greater scale. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. And I do also want to let the fans know that rumor has it Lexi may be coming out with their own podcast in the near future. So keep your eyes on social media for that because you don't want to miss that. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. Ooh. And it's going to be funny, guys.
Ooh, I like it.
It's going to be funny. And it's not going to be just basketball. It's going to be about all types of stuff, too. Just FYI.
This has been the latest installation of Overseas Report, where the WNBA Insider Podcast takes an in-depth look at what goes on in overseas basketball pertaining to the WNBA.